Now, these are certain motivations for travel and tourism. The first one which is there is trade and commerce. Earliest known to man, why would a man travel is because of trade and commerce. It would be that men who are living at a particular place are having, say, plantations of rice, but they do not have something else. So they might want to sell the surplus rice production and buy something else which is not grown at their own place. So this was how travel went ahead, that this was how trade and commerce went ahead. Similarly, in today's world, what we have is the people who are traveling or people who are going on tour might travel for this trade and this commerce. Then we have the exploration of new areas. Now, man is known to be a curious animal. Definitely, we love to go to places where no one has been. So, this is one of the thing which is there. Why people have went to far off places, went to exotic places. So here we understand the present trend that we have. People like to go to places which are less seen or which are less explored. So, if we are talking about an exotic vacation, we immediately think about a small island or a small island or some far off place which is not very well known, but it has some very interesting things to offer to a traveler. So what we want to do is we want to explore that new area, we want to try out the new cuisines or the cultural way, or observe the people and get an experience and come back enriched with this those experiences. In early times also we had great explorers. We had Ibn Battuta, which is who is by default one of the most one of the greatest explorers of all times. If you actually see the amount of travel that he has done throughout his lifetime is magnificent, and hence that's one of the explorers. We have other explorers like Marco Polo, then there are many others. There are Chinese travelers, Chinese explorers who used to travel. So all this is the main purpose would be exploring to the new areas. Then religious travel. Again, starting from the early ages, people have traveled for this religious purposes. They want to visit certain shrines and certain beliefs. So it is there in every single religion. So religious travel is there is a purpose. Similarly, we have in India the Kumbh Melas and other festivals which are there for which religious travel take place. Apart from that, there might be other reasons why a person might visit the religious site. It can be the architecture that that it has. So overall, the religious travel will, is something which is a phenomena worldwide. Then we have travel for pleasure. When we are talking about travel for pleasure, there might be many reasons why a person might be traveling. He simply wants to go and see the place. He might want to go and say have a vacation or stress buster vacation in a spa. Then it might be simply to go and have a sightseeing and come back. So it's just pleasure traveling. Relaxation and rest. Now there are many many resorts and many spas which are advertising as relaxation, take a break packages, tour packages. So here what happens is we are simply going and pampering ourselves. The ideal relaxing or rest vacation would be a vacation, an extended vacation which does not have lot of tourist activities in general. It does not have lot of sightseeing activities in general, but it is just relaxing. Say there are certain workshops wherein meditating, yoga also comes into this picture. So that is relaxation and resting. Then we have health. Why people might be traveling for health. So again here we have the medical treatments we might also have, just to attain body, mind and spirit balance. Just to attain that balance, it might be a health tourism. It might be also a trip to certain areas which are famous for its hot springs. Going in that area, bathing in that water might make you healthy, or as the beliefs are. So these are the purpose of travel might be here. Then we have the sports events. Now recent what we have is the Brazil Football Cup. When we talk about such a sports event, there are millions who travel to witness such sports events. So we have the Olympics, we have the tennis tournaments, we have cricket World Cups, we have IPLs, we have 2020 ODIs, we have many such matches. So what happens is there are diehard fans who might actually travel to that place where the such games are held, where such tournaments are held, and they might go there and make sure that they are visiting that place and experiencing the entire game. Further ahead, there are people who might go to participate in such sports activities. So sports event cause a lot of travel of many people around the world. So the purpose or motivation of travel and tourism might be sports event. Then there are cultural exploration and discovery. Now, when we are talking about cultural exploration and discovery, let's say I am more interested in Buddhist architectures or Buddhist monasteries. So I might go to countries like China or countries like Japan or Myanmar or Vietnam or Cambodia to explore the architecture or the culture which is there. I might go to a Buddhist circuit inside India to explore such cultural things which are there. So that would be cultural exploration and discovery. Similarly, if certain Westerners are interested in Indian culture, they might want to visit in India. They might stay for a longer period of time. They might experience the culture. They might come in those period when there are certain cultural festivals. So what happens here, they are coming here to see the culture, to experience the culture. So that is discovering the culture of the place. Then we have the ethnic and family reasons. Now this is a present trend that we have, that we want to see our roots. All right, so if we are talking about, say, there are many many people who are living in West Bengal, early West Bengal in olden days. So this were people who came from Europe and settled down during the British Raj and then went back ahead, or some of them died here. So their future generations who might ideally now live in say UK or any other countries around Europe might want to visit and see where their ancestors used to live. They might want to come and experience how they were living. So similarly, there are ethnic reasons wherein I would like to travel to my roots. For example, there might be certain other people who know that their ancestors are living in some other countries. So they might visit to that particular country to find them. So those are the ethnic reasons why we might travel. And again, the family reasons would be, in present day, if we consider, we know that there are many people who are living outside India. So there are their relatives who might travel to meet them, and they might travel back to India to meet their own family. So those reasons are also a part of tourism and travel. That is the motivated part of tourism travel. Then we have the professional and business visits. Now we all know that the present scenario is a global one. So the motivation would be when I'm traveling because of my professional reasons or because of my business visits. So if I am a person who is involved in marketing and I am into international marketing of a product, I might need to travel to many places across the world. So that is a motivation behind it. There are again many other things which are involved in business travel or professional. For example, there might be not only meetings but trainings which are involved, training sessions which are involved. Then there might be MICE, that is meetings, incentive, congress, conventions and exhibitions which are held. So that will also be a motivator. So suppose if I want to visit to that particular trade fair which is taking place in a country, I might want to visit there. So that's a motivation for professional and business visits. Next is the enjoyment of nature. Ideally, the tourist or the travelers might want to go to a particular place because of its natural aesthetic beauty. So if I want to go to the Himalayas, I might not be an adventurer at heart. I'm not looking forward for the trekking part, but I want to see the scenes. So I might go to the nearby city and I might view the Himalayas. So I might love to be nearer to nature. So that is a motivation Indian, and these are the travelers who travel for sites and cities which have natural attractions present. Next is the prestige and status. So when we are talking about prestige and status, there are things like international tour is taking place because it is a prestige issue. So suppose if I am telling that I have done a cruise to Antarctica, or I have been on so and so destination, it's a prestigious thing. So the reason why I have went to Europe is because it's status symbol or it's prestigious. That's one of the motivation. Then there are other things also wherein, say I am going to some exotic location, some high fly destination, which again is prestigious or status symbol. So these are the motivations for travel and tourism. These are the important ones. People might also travel for some other reasons, but these are the main ones that we have. This is a summary of the motivations for travel and tourism. Trade and commerce, exploration of new areas, religious travel, travel for pleasure, relaxation and rest, health, sports event, cultural exploration, ethnic and family reasons, professional and business visits, enjoyment of nature, prestige, and all of this are combined motivations of travel. Now, we know what international tourism is and we know what domestic tourism is. Although it is, they both are a part of tourism itself, they are different from one another on various aspects, not only just crossing the border, but many other aspects. Now, one is the destinations. What are the types of destination that matters, where these destinations are. Travel formalities, those will be different if I am traveling domestic and international. Language barrier. Currency differences, cultural dissimilarity because it's a different country. Cost of tourism and affordability. So let us check this one by one. We have the different destinations. Now, when we are talking about destinations, clearly when we talk about domestic tourist destinations, these destinations are within the country of hail. So if I am talking about going in and inside my own country, I can go and visit and come back. Alright, so these destinations are within my own country. If I am talking about international tourism, the destinations are out of the out of my home country, so that's an international destination for me. So clearly it will be outside the boundaries of travelers' home country. This will be the differences with regards to destination. Now let us check the next difference that we have, and a major one, that will be the travel formalities for both types. Now we are talking about domestic tourism. When I am roaming in my own country, I do not need special documents to carry. It may be that I might need identification proof, that would be enough. My address proof, that would be enough, and I can go to any part of my country. In certain areas, it may be so that there might be permits required. That would be because of the security reasons of that particular place in general. So in that ways, I might want to have permits to go and visit such places, but even in that regard, the formalities involved will be quite less. On other hand, when we are talking about international travel, tourists must have many must have certain things, like they need to have passports, they need to have visa, which would be ideal for most of the countries. It is important to have. They have certain exceptions, that is certain countries which can have visa, without visa can enter the country, but almost all of the countries have many visa restrictions. Appropriate government clearances. There are many other rules and regulations that one has to follow. So when we are talking about passport, there are certain countries, because of the bilateral agreements, they might say that passport is not required. But in general, on an average, we are talking about, these are the certain formalities which are required. So during an international travel, this travel formalities has to be taken care of. In some countries, there are restrictions to foreign currencies, bringing foreign currencies and certain materials to be carried by outsiders. Now, when roaming in my country, I can carry X number of amount of money with me. But while I'm going to a different country, I need to carry their own currency for my expense over there, or I might carry a stronger currency, whichever convenient with respect to the travel to that particular country. But there are restrictions as to how much I can take to that country. More importantly, there are also what form of currency I can make, that is whether it is in cash or in traveler's checks or with respect to international debit or credit cards. Next is there are certain materials or certain objects that I need to carry or I do not need to carry. So there are there is a list which is published by each government or each country, wherein they are putting on restrictions. For example, I cannot carry say live animals with me. I cannot carry say liquor bottles or there might be certain things which are banned in that particular country. This might also include certain medicine which are not banned in your home country, but they are banned in other countries. So you cannot carry it to that particular country. Again, there are certain formalities wherein you can't carry certain things from that country to back to your home country. So that would be the rules which are there. So here are the travel formalities that come into picture. So while going to a particular international tourist destination or country, you need to know about these travel formalities. Now, when we talk about language barriers, we are talking about the kind of trouble that on an international tour we have. So if we are traveling to a country which does not have that language which I am used to in my home country, then there is a problem. So this are most of the people can communicate mainly in their native language. So suppose in a country like India, okay, there are certain states where Hindi might not be known, which is our language which is known everywhere, or there might be very few English speaking people. This is a language that is used commonly throughout India. So ideally, what will happen in domestic tours as well, there might be certain places where this problem can arise inside the country itself. But further ahead, when we are talking about on an international tour, the language barrier is more which is evident, because if I am going to a particular country which is say not at all having any English speaking speaking people, so I might have problems even in communicating simple things. But with respect to tourism, there are certain things, certain trends wherein when you go to such a country which does not have the language which you have at your home country, it is more important for a traveler to learn certain small things, certain small words in that particular language. So it can be thank yous, please, sorries, hi, hello, namaste, or such other words. More importantly, there are certain trends, like when we are talking about say a company which is taking a group tour to that particular country, and during the induction sessions, these are the meetings which are taken before the trip departs. For this, what they do is they tell you which are the important things, which are the important languages that you need to know, especially when you're going to a country which speaks some other language, like say China, wherein they speak Mandarin. If we go to Thailand, they speak some other language. So there are things like, for example, if a group is departing for a Thailand trip, there is a spa thing which is included in it, you might want to learn what do they mean by go on for a slow pressure or a high pressure massage. So you need to know those words so as to communicate what you exactly need in that massage treatment. So these are certain things wherein language barrier is understood. Again, when we go for shopping, there are things wherein they are talking about say money in their own language, and we know money as in 1, 2, or 3, so we can use the sign languages. Or in countries like say Thailand, Malaysia, they communicate with use of calculator. So they are actually telling you the cost price of a particular commodity by showing it or typing it on a calculator and showing it to you, and then you can go ahead and start negotiating about the price. So this language barrier sometimes act as one of the most unique experience of the entire tour. So when abroad, people may face difficulties during shopping, interacting with local population, especially when we are about to say board a taxi and we want to say certain addresses, but while saying those, the pronunciations might come off differently. So there are certain travel tips that that come in handy, wherein if you are talking about your own hotel, do carry the key of the hotel or the card of that particular hotel. You might also carry the pamphlets to a particular destination, just to show those photograph or that pamphlet to the taxi driver if you are taking a taxi to that place. So language barrier is one of the things here. Now next, what we have is the currency differences. Definitely when I am traveling inside my own country, I am dealing with only one currency, so I don't have any problems and I am not carrying a different currency with me. But when I am talking about other countries, travelers have to pay. Suppose I want to pay my hotel bills, I want to pay my restaurant bills, I want to go and say buy tickets to a particular sightseeing option, attraction over there. This is where the foreign currency comes into picture. So although most of the things might be prepaid, that is, I might say buy a return ticket, so I don't want to pay that. I might have paid for my accommodation charges, but when I am talking about certain local things, I need to pay in local currencies only. So here I need to carry with me my foreign exchange, and there are different modes of foreign exchange to be carried. So while traveling domestically, tourists do not have to worry about such things. But here again, this is when the difference comes, that is depending upon which country I am going and whether that currency is less than my home currency or more than my home currency will definitely make an impact on the budget of the entire travel. Because if I am talking about say a place like Hong Kong, suppose if I compare the currency issues there, one mineral bottle water bottle will be costing say 15 rupees in India, but in Hong Kong, if you convert it and find out the actual price, if I convert it into my INR Indian rupees, it might cost say about 120 rupees. So what happens is a simple differences between the currency will have an impact for the entire travel budget. Next is the cultural dissimilarity. This is one of the motivation why actually people might want to visit on an international tour a different country with different culture. This is one of the motivation why people might travel there, to experience how different its culture is as compared to my own culture. So when the country, there can be regional differences in living habits, dressing styles, languages. However, food habits are generally the same. This is when we are talking about throughout the country. Internationally, apart from the differences in living habits, dressing styles and language, food patterns can be drastically different and there can be inconvenience for foreigners. Now, here is one thing wherein it is said that why would Indian might want to travel along with a group tour to say countries like Europe, wherein English could be easily understood. Why do Indians need the entire group? The main reason why Indians might go for a group travel to Europe would be because they get good vegetarian food and good Indian food along with such group tours. So food is the main reason why people might travel to group tours. This is one of the perspective that we have. So when we are talking about culture, we are talking about the way of living in that particular destination. We are talking about how the people are dressing, how they are having certain say rituals or other beliefs. Apart from that, it's the food that matters. So in an international travel, we as a traveler might love all the other differences, but not the food differences. So these are the cultural dissimilarity that we have between a domestic and a international destination or a trip. Now, cost of tourism. If we compare a domestic tour to an international tour, ideally the international tour will always be more expensive than a domestic. This might be so because of the differences between the cost of living of your destination country and your home country. It will be the the currency differences which will be there between your home currency and that of the destination country. So local tourism generally costs less, can be afforded by most of the population. International tourism costs are far more because of the large components of airfares and high priced accommodation and food in the foreign countries. So what happens here is the international tourism, the entire package will have a greater cost price, and that is how only those who can afford such indulgences would go for a international trip abroad. Now, difference in affordability levels. Local tourism is mostly dominated by low and middle income groups. International tourism is generally affordable only for the affluent class. Now, when we are talking about the trend of international travel in India, we understand that there are many people who might go for an international trip. But ideally, if we consider how the market goes, it's the new emerging middle class that wants to have one experience of international travel, might go and visit Southeast Asia and come back, which is comparatively affordable to them. So what happens here is in local tourism, in domestic tourism, it will be low or the middle class income people who might afford it, and so they might be the ones who are going there, while international tourists will be ideally for the affluent people or affluent level people who are going and visiting such places. So definitely this is dependent upon the cost price of that particular tour package. Now, next what we have is the three attributes or the three A's of international tourism. It is the accessibility, how accessible that particular destination is, accommodation and attractions. Now, any particular destination has to have these three A's to be one of the most sought after tourist destinations. Now, let's see first what do we have about accessibility. Now, the transportation to the destination should be regular. It should be comfortable, economical and safe. These are certain things which go with a good accessible destination. So it has to be regular. What do we mean by being regular? Is if I am talking about a destination country and my home country, there should be regular flights. Frequency should be good, so that I have many flights which are going to that particular destination. So if I am talking about a tourist country which is say famous, the first thing is it should be well connected and it should be regularly connected. So ideally if we can say that there are only one or two flights who are going to that destination, there will be less tourists who will be opting for that. Next is comfortable, how comfortable the journey is. That is one aspect. Economical, it cannot be too overpriced, because what happens then is that the market is shrink down. There are very few people who might like to afford it, or who might be able to afford it. And it should be safe. The type of journey, the accessibility options should be safe. Now, here we have one more a perspective here. There are certain destinations which are famous as destinations not because they have good accessibility, but they have remote accessibility. Okay, so what happens here is its negative effect works on a positive way. For example, if I am talking about say a destination which is on an exotic place, its accessibility is very bad, or in the sense it's not very comfortable to go there, or it's not economical or not safe. That acts as an factor for that particular destination. So there will be many adventure travelers who might want to visit there. There will be many people who are searching for off-bit destinations who might want to visit there because it has less accessibility, or it has slightly comparatively a bad accessibility. So it acts as a positive effect if we are talking about those destinations. But overall, the accessibility should be good in order for a destination to come up as one of the best destinations. Now, today there are multiple options for the international traveler to reach the desired destination by means of air travel, surface transport, and cruise. Earlier, when the technology was not that developed, there might be only option might be say airlines, or it might be just the ships that take long durations. Today, we have a huge network of air flights. We have further ahead, there are road connections, rail connections, and again the cruises and the ships, which give attractive itineraries, connect many important cities in and around major tourist attractions. So accessibility plays a very important role in making a destination popular. Next, what we have is accommodation. Now, there is a study which is made that India as a destination is very good. It is accessible also, but it lacks the infrastructure, and more importantly, the accommodation sector, wherein although the people are coming here in India from outside, the international travelers might find that the accommodation facilities which are provided are either less or not up to the mark. So we are talking about certain travel attractions or sightseeing destinations which lack the infrastructure of accommodation, and that's the reason the traveler might not stay at that place, or and they might travel up down. For example, suppose if we consider Delhi, which is a hub which might have many different kinds of hotels available, and then there is Agra, which has the Taj. So ideally people might want to stay over at Agra, but when we compare the Delhi hotels and Agra hotels, they might prefer to be at Delhi, staying at Delhi rather than Agra. So this can be because of the difference between the accommodation service that is provided. So comfortable accommodation and good food are prerequisites of a satisfactory international tourism. Internationally, 3-star to 7-star hotels are available in most countries with tourism attractions. Now, here again, there is gradation systems wherein hotels are categorized into grades. So starting from first star or 1-star, that would be the basic types of hotels, to 5 to 6 stars, that will be there. Now, when we are talking about 7-star hotels, ideally there is no such thing as 7-star hotel. It's a marketing gimmick, and it is started by the Al Burj Khalifa hotel at Dubai. So Burj Khalifa says that it's a 7-star hotel. What it means to say is that it is beyond gradations. Alright, so it's that good. So these gradations are given by local grading here, and again there will be gradation differences. So suppose if I am talking about India, the 1-star grade or 2-star grade or 3-star grade hotels in India might be similar to a 1-star grade hotel in USA. So this is a difference which can happen. Similarly, when we are talking about international travel, there are certain international countries, certain destinations which might have very good hotels on a 3-star grade, but certain other countries might have comparatively very basic standard hotels at a 3-star grade. So the travel destinations which have best of the accommodation services will attract more tourists.